If you're missing your boo who's not around anymore, you can always pick up a gift at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. And just recording this after the interview, we're going to put the explicit language warning up on this one. Figgy has some four-letter words that she's going to be saying. So just be on the lookout for that. If you're at work or listening to the podcast with small children around, be aware of that. Enjoy. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, getting ready for an exit interview on the road the morning after Live Know-It-Alls number 6 in NYC. Had a very fun show last night at Caroline's on Broadway and had a lot of fun with everybody in attendance after the fact at the after party as well. But I have to say, I feel pretty good. I think I have figured out a good system of these. It turns out if you don't drink too much and you get enough rest, it works out that you are okay to podcast the next day after the show. So a lot of fun, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of stories after the fact about everything from last night, and hope to share some of those with you guys on future podcasts. But this morning, we are going to be speaking with Figgy. Figgy, Jessica Figueroa, is going to be joining us on the podcast, so we'll talk with her in just a moment. And then after that, I will play for you my conversation with Jordan Kalish when he came by my Airbnb to record this week in Survivor History quiz. So all that and much, much more here in this episode. Then right after this, I'm going to be speaking with Teresa Cooper. T-Bird is going to be the guest on the recap, and we will talk through everything millennials and Gen X with T-Bird coming up in just a couple of moments for me, a couple of hours for you guys. So check that out on robasawebsite.com, and be sure to get your voicemails in after I fly home on Friday. I'm going to speak with Antonio Mazzaro, and we will get to your voicemail. So send those in, robasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282 RHAP. It looks like we have got Figgy on the line. Let's go ahead and put her through. Figgy, are you there?
Hey.
Figgy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, Figgy.
Actually, I'm drinking a beer right now, actually. I'm drinking a peanut butter milk stout, so if that's telling you how I'm doing.
Figgy, are you drowning your sorrows?
Of course. No, no, I'm not. But that's the only thing I had in my fridge, and I'm like, fuck it, whatever.
Whoa, Figgy. All right. Well,
let's get
into this. And Figgy, of course, we're all very sad about the heartbreak from last night's episode. Are you doing okay? I mean, besides the day drinking?
I'm hanging in there. It's still, you know, it's like I'm reliving it all. And yeah, I mean, it's hard, and it's hard to deal with. So rewatching it stung a lot. But yeah, what can you do?
Now, Figgy, did you have any idea that Adam was this close to flipping? It seems like it was definitely a part of the conversation at the tribal council, but did you guys think that he actually would go through with that?
Wow. I, for one, knew. Like, I sensed that he would flip. Taylor, on the other hand, like, you know, snowboarding with a fucking, like, the bamboo down a hill somewhere, flipping his hair. He's not, you know, really concerned with what's going on and aware. And I had this feeling that Adam was going to flip. And this is why, like, we came back from the challenge and I had to make Adam feel like he was on top of the world. And I was like, okay, Adam, who do you want to vote out? Because if I didn't make it seem like that, I knew I was going to go home no matter what. And he was like, oh, we got to take out Ken. And I was like, okay, you want me to feed you grapes? Do you want me to do this for you? Let me give you a foot massage. Like, what else do I need to do for you? Because I knew it was so easy for him to flip and to go with the Gen X and possibly gain, you know, more numbers in his back pocket. So I sensed it, and I even felt it, like, deeply in my gut when I sat down at Tribal when nobody was looking around and nobody was looking at me. I just felt it in that moment that I was going to go home.
So did you at any point talk to Ken and Jessica about getting rid of Adam?
Yeah, we actually did. And it was for a short second, and then I realized that I couldn't believe a word that they said. I threw it out there because I was considering keeping another couple in the game. So for our benefit, and I was going to put a target on Ken and Jessica's back and say, hey, this is another twosome that we should get rid of, because obviously one part of my twosome only listens to me. So we should probably get rid of the other two strategists. So it was in my best interest almost to keep Ken and Jessica around and take out Adam. But once I could see right through Ken's lies when he was talking to me in my face, he was just so bland. I was like, okay, so we're going to stick with Adam and we're just going to try and, you know, make it work. And ultimately it didn't work out in my favor.
You felt like Ken was too boring?
It was just like, he's like Taylor matured, but, you know, older, I guess. And maybe way wiser.
Isn't that what you like?
You're so funny. No, but Ken, I was getting to the point where Ken is way wiser. So that's a better quality. Ken is way wiser than Taylor ever was. And so, yeah, I don't know.
All right. So, Vicky, why did they go after you and not Taylor? I feel like that Taylor would be a threat after the merge, more so in the challenges. He seems like he's really good at balancing. Why get rid of you instead of Taylor in this spot?
Yeah. So I think I like to always say this. I'm not comparing our power as Boston Rob and Amber. But I was Boston Rob and he was Amber. I was controlling everything Taylor did. If I told that kid to go get me water, if I told him to go bat his blue eyes at Jessica and go flirt with her or something, he would go do whatever I said. And I was busy playing the strategist. I was busy doing everything. And Adam knew that from the get-go. You know, besides what you guys fully see, obviously, on the TV, but Adam knew from the get-go that I was running Taylor. And if you could keep a strategist like me, or if you can get rid of Taylor, who, yeah, she's a competitive threat when it comes to individual immunity challenges, but I'm also a threat as well. We didn't see all that because Michaela's a damn beast, but I'm also, you know, a 4-sport athlete growing up, and I have the muscles, I have the strength to also beat these people out. So you have someone that's kind of well-rounded, even though she's kind of in a little budding romance that's kind of an issue, she's more of a threat long-term than Taylor is. Because I was aware of what was going on, and Taylor had no clue. He'd wake up and think it was January. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Like, seriously.
So then, in terms of the vote that you guys cast, why did you guys go with Ken instead of Jessica?
Well, we wanted to vote out Jessica. I wanted to vote out Jessica. I didn't like Jessica at all. I get along with the guys more.
Why?
I'm a bro-y chick, so like I was getting along with the guys more, but also, I got to know Jessica on Tecali, and I also could see when she was lying as well. And like, I just couldn't trust her as much as I could possibly trust Ken. And Ken, like I said, I asked Adam, I said, who would you want to take out? And he said, Ken. So I had to go with whatever Adam said, because let's say for shits and giggles that Adam actually did vote with us. And let's say I voted somewhere else. And it's like, wait, what? I thought we were voting out Ken. So I had to take a risk and just go and trust Adam. And, you know, like I can't say enough. Ultimately, it didn't work out. But that's the reason why we had to go with the Ken vote, was because Adam wanted to take out Ken. And no matter what, it didn't matter which one went. But it just had to be one of those two.
Figgy, did you guys know that Adam had the hidden immunity idol?
No. No, we did not. And that's funny because we speculated it, you know, even at the very beginning, there were just rumors going around, you know, day one, day two paranoia that somebody had an idol, and it was either Zeke or Adam. And at that point in the game, they didn't have it yet. But Adam was always searching, and he was just a little snake with it. So I at some point, obviously nobody keeps their idols in their bags, but I'm like, well, why not? So I kind of peeked in there and nothing was there. So I didn't think anything of it. He wouldn't have had to play it anyways. But God, how awesome would it have been if he would have played that for me, right?
That would have been something. You might have needed David for
that. He would have voted me out, and then they're like, you know what, actually, I changed my mind. Let me play this for Big. That would have been great.
That would have been good. Figgy, this week we saw where you guys decided to come clean to Ken and Jessica about the relationship between you and Taylor. Although last week that you were pretty adamant, like, no, we can't say anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they knew, but I was interested to know, why did you decide to change direction on this from last week's episode?
Yeah. So Taylor, obviously googly-eyed, like literally brewed my love potion to potent, and he was just googly eyes and drooling all over the place, and I couldn't control him. And I was like, oh.
Love goggles.
Seriously, love goggles, man, bro. Like, oh my God. Like, that's literally, that was what was going on, so I couldn't control it. And I ultimately was just like, okay, well, let's think about this. So you want to be out in the open. You can't control yourself because you're like a 12-year-old boy out here. And I'm trying to play this game, and you're not really trying to play this game. Adam knows. Michaela's on Ikabula. She knows. She hates me. Zeke's on Vanilla. He hates me. So what are the odds that these two are going to have a conversation with the other Gen Xers and spill the beans on what was going on in our tribe? I'd say about 120 million percent. So why not get the cat out of the bag and just let it happen? Because when we come to a merge situation, then it's like, oh, Figgy Taylor, I thought you guys weren't a thing. You know what I mean? So it depended on who was going to make that merge. And for my end game, if it would have been smart to lie then or just come out with it. So I couldn't wait any longer because Taylor couldn't control himself.
Okay, Figgy, this isn't a question about the game, but I think a lot of people want to know, is Figtails still a thing? Is Figgler still happening?
What do you think?
I would say I would thought it would be yes, but based on your tone in this interview, I'm guessing that the answer, sadly, could be no.
Yeah. So the legend of Figtails has ended.
Oh, no.
Wah, wah, wah. Cue sad music. yeah. So pretty much our lives live on an island versus real life are completely different. And there were things in his life, real life situations, that got in the way of us being together. And for our best interest, that we are no longer together. And it's a dodged bullet, if you will, for me.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is why I'm drinking beer for these interviews. But yeah, so
right.
I'm happy. I'm good.
All right, so let me ask you some more stuff about the game that we didn't really get to see too much of, why you and Michaela were at odds almost right off the bat in the game. Could you give us some more insight into why you and Michaela weren't getting along?
Yeah, so the moment I laid eyes on Jay and Taylor, I knew those were going to be my two boys. Like, I knew from the get-go. Michelle, pretty girl, I knew that they were going to try to go for her. It's just what happened. Especially millennials, so I knew that I had this foursome. Well, Michaela wasn't really in on our alliance. And Michaela just kind of, you know, you've seen it even at the tribe swap where she shows on her face her attitude. And I just saw a lot of that, and we all did. And it was very negative energy at camp. And we were all just having a discussion within our alliance, like, okay, who would we ever vote out if we had to? Your name had came up, but everybody's name comes up. It's the game of Survivor. And, you know, eventually the word got back to her somehow. I don't know how, or if somebody was spreading a lie even. And she found out that, like, we originally was possibly going to take her out, which we weren't. So it came to be this girl fight, bring her claws out, because of that. And just because we originally weren't going to, like, straight up go up to her and say, hey, let's work together. She was more quiet at first.
Now, Figgy, is it true that you tried to get Jay voted out during the Mari vote? That was what Mari had said when we had talked to her after her vote out.
I know, man.
Is that true? Well, or is that game of telephone?
Yeah, well, no. What's funny is, like, these interviews, like, it's so crazy when these people do these post-game interviews because they just want to come out and they feel like they have to defend themselves and, like, go crazy with all this information. And the whole thing with that Jay getting his name thrown in there was because I don't know who it was. I have an idea, but, you know, to extend all this bull crap out, I'm just, like, over it. There was a rumor that Jay was gunning for me with the guys, which you saw the discussions that he was, and he was going to be okay with it. So once I found that out via Will, I'm just going to fucking say it, via Will, that discussion was happening, I had to flip it real quick. I was like, okay, well, hell, like, if Mari kept saying, I want to work with you, all this and that. So I was like, okay, well, why don't we cut the head off at the snake or take Jay out or whatever. And Jay and I were cool, but this is the game of Survivor, and people are lying and people are trying to break you and all this stuff. And then Jay and I came together and we were like, dude, like, this is stupid. Like, why is this even happening? And then we made up and we were bros again. Okay. So it was just like a little problem that happened, and then I got situated. But
yeah,
it was like early lies and manipulation.
Figgy,
stupid stuff.
You got called out by Jeff at the reward challenge when everybody came in and CeCe was voted out and Michelle was still there and you were so happy. Did you feel like your spot was being blown up, or you thought that was fine in terms of letting everybody know that you and Michelle were tight?
I originally was super excited. I just wasn't. I was so excited to see her. I wasn't thinking about what I was saying. I had prayed and prayed and prayed and was just like hoping that Michelle was going to come out from the bushes, and she did. So to actually see her, I was just so elated. And then Jeff called me out, and then I forgot everybody's existence at that moment. All I saw was Michelle. So yeah, I didn't say, oh, it's good to see you too, Zeke. I was just like, oh, Michelle, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes down to it, let's say I would have made the merge. Okay. So you go from having the target kind of on my back to possibly on hers, because now, you know, she's even more well-liked. She works with Figgy. She's good at puzzles. So she had, you know what I mean? It's like it possibly could have taken a target off my back long-term. But I think that clip was a little blown up. We all were laughing, I guess. I don't know. It was something. I kind of regretted what I did after I did it.
Okay. Well, Figgy, thank you so much for coming on. It looked like at least you guys had fun out there, that between you and Taylor, he's always laughing, you're always laughing. So it looks like at least it was a fun trip.
I love you doing the Taylor impression. I wish I could see you right now. I wish I could see you right now, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I love, love, love it. But,
all right. Well, thanks, Figgy, for being a good sport, and all the best to you. And easy on the drinking. I mean, it's not even lunchtime, Figgy.
I know. Well, I'm sorry. I just can't help myself.
All right, Figgy. All the best to you, okay?
Yep. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Figgy on the podcast. Sorry about the language. Boy, Figgy, I guess once you're drinking at 12:30 in the afternoon, boom. You're not worried about a family-friendly podcast at that point, but good stuff from Figgy. Not afraid to throw some people under the bus. Always, look, I like that candor on the exit interviews, so that's a good thing. And so all good stuff from Figgy, and we'll see what ultimately happens for Taylor the rest of this season. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to switch gears. I'm going to actually play for you my conversation with Jordan Kalish. He came by my Airbnb yesterday to record the This Week in Survivor History quiz, and you can hear how that went right now. All right, everybody, I'm very excited for our weekly segment of This Week in Survivor History, the trivia competition, and usually I am joined by this man who is thousands of miles away from me, but today, for this one time only, he is actually 0 inches away from me. There will be no distance between us. We're like Figgy and Taylor. Here is Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How you doing? Very excited about the know-it-alls tonight. Had a great time at karaoke. Had a great time at the BBOTT show. And I'm ready to give you some trivia questions.
All right, so this is how important This Week in Survivor History is to us, because we are right here, and Jordan is practically on my lap to do this with one microphone as we are doing this in New York as part of the Know-It-Alls extravaganza. We're actually recording this right before Know-It-Alls. Are you nervous about tonight's show, Jordan?
Why would I be nervous? I'm not doing the show tonight. Are you nervous about tonight's show?
No, I'm good. I'm loosey-goosey, ready to go. We're also streaming this in the Patreon Facebook group. So much going on here for a very special This Week in Survivor History. And it's especially special because This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by our friends over at Jack Threads. Now, Jordan, would you say that we were just talking about the top 500 things that I'm known for? Is being a fashion plate one of those things?
No, it is definitely not one of those things, unless you're talking about plaid.
Would you say that I would be a person who would stand to benefit from shopping at jackthreads.com?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because at jackthreads.com, it is so much better than going to the mall. I got into an argument with the woman at the mall the last time I went into one of these stores, and she was trying to tell me I was a different size than what I was. It was a very frustrating experience. At Jack Threads, no frustration, because you can pick out all of the different clothes that you think might work for you, because you don't know from the picture. You're guessing. And then they will send them to your house and you can try them risk-free and make sure that you are 100% in love with the items that you order without spending a cent. Then you just choose what you want. You have up to 7 days to decide if it's working for you, and then you pay. Isn't that a better way to do things?
Much better. I hate going to the mall. Much rather do it from my house.
Right. It's like, you know, you don't just go and just meet somebody and get married, right? You get to, like, you know, try to see if it's working, and then you make the commitment.
I agree. Clothes shopping should be just like dating and marriage. It should be exactly the same thing.
But it's better than dating, because you get what you want, and if you're not happy, you can return it.
Yeah, it shouldn't even be dateable and non-dateable anymore in Survivor. It should be shopping and non-shopping. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it did not. It did not. Jordan Kalish, not the spokesperson for jackthreads.com, because Jack Threads, you can send everything back. They send you the packing tape and a prepaid shipping label. We're shipping it.
It's definitely shipping it.
Okay. Jackthreads.com. Go to promo code. Enter promo code RHAP when you submit your tryout for 20% off anything you keep. That's jackthreads.com. With the code RHAP, save 20% on anything that you keep. Never buy before you try ever again. Triforce.
Ooh, Triforce. I love the Triforce.
Okay. All right. So, Jordan, here we go. So, this week in Survivor history, here we are in, what is this technically, the final week of October?
Yes.
2016?
Final week of October 2016, but we are going to go back very deep in Survivor history today. And we are going to start with a question that will cover multiple seasons. So, the first question for this week in Survivor history, which booted player was not voted out unanimously this week in Survivor history?
We're getting right into it. I mean, no introduction here whatsoever.
Nope. We usually go with a specific season first, but this is a Nick Fishman question, which I always love when he gives me questions during the week. So is it A, Sharia in Survivor China?
Wait, what's the question?
I said the question, which booted out player was not voted out unanimously this week in Survivor history? Okay. That's the question I said.
Okay.
Definitely said the question. A, Sharia in Survivor China. B, Kelly in Survivor Gabon. C, Liz in Survivor Samoa. D, Ozzy in Survivor South Pacific.
Now, I'm trying to come up with the person who was not booted unanimously.
Who was not booted unanimously.
Okay. And can I hear those nominees one more time?
Yes. We have Sharia from China, Kelly from Gabon, Liz from Samoa, Ozzy from South Pacific.
So it's Sharia. Who's the second person?
It's Sharia, Kelly Czarnecki from Gabon, Liz from Samoa, and Ozzy from South Pacific.
Boy, I mean, these Nick Fishman questions, real reach city. I don't like when they were going all across multiple different years, for the record.
Isn't that what you did with Evolution of Strategy? Wasn't that the whole point? You went all from all the in all the years. You spent months and months watching all the episodes. This is what you were preparing for.
But nobody remembers what happened on a specific week. Like, I think people like it when it's about a season. I don't want to look at the chat, but I have a feeling they have my back on this. Like, I think I like, okay, here's the season. Here's a question about this season. Now I gotta like think and like pull the calendar into all of this.
This is turning into like one of the presidential debates where we're going back and forth.
Okay. All right. I won't pivot too much. Trying to think. I would think that Sharia did not get voted out unanimously because I think that Courtney Yates would not vote against her.
That is 100% correct. Great job. Great logic on that question. Courtney actually wanted to get John Robert voted out in this episode. No surprise there. She hated John Robert, but Sharia was voted out anyway.
We don't have a bell, but we'll do an honorary water bottle. Yeah, keys. You're going to give me keys like I'm a baby? Okay, that's good. Ding.
Ding. So now that Sharia was the right answer, that the reason I did that, we're going to go into Survivor China. That's why I couldn't start with the season this time. This is the episode from October 25th, 2007, and I see Josh Wiggler is watching. I'm very, very nervous now. Question number two. A plan by Todd and a kidnapped James for decided to throw a challenge during the gross food eating challenge, which would be the immunity challenge in that episode. Of course, this plan does not work. Who was the target for their failed plot? Was it A, Eric Huffman, B, Jamie Dugan, C, PG Law, D, Josea Flores?
Okay. So we had a plan, and we're going to throw a gross food eating contest, and all that had to happen with it. And then James and Denise were such good friends, and then Denise just could not eat the balut, and then that was going to be the thing. And then I get, who were they going to, so which of those people they were going to vote out? Boy, I'll guess that they were going to vote against Down Goes Dugan. I'll go with it, but it's a guess. I don't know.
So it would have been Down Goes Dugan a couple weeks early, and you are correct. You are 2 for 2. Congratulations. Jamie Dugan was the target. It was Todd's idea. He kind of saw her as the leader of that alliance. And while Denise wasn't able to eat the balut, she was able to yell at the balut, which is a lot of fun.
The true mastermind of Survivor China, Jamie Dugan.
I don't think I could give you that when Todd Herzog was on that season. One of the best players of all time.
Come on, Jordan. Come on.
Okay. I mean, look, Dugan had her moment. She was fun. She married Eric. And that was a good move. I mean, they seem like a very nice couple. They have cute kids. You see them on Facebook. But I don't know if she's the mastermind of Survivor China.
All right, Jordan. Well, I was being kind of sarcastic there.
I had a feeling you were.
Okay. I'm not sure if you can read my tone that we are exactly 0 millimeters apart.
Yes, zero. We're closer than the BBOTT show stage yesterday. Even with some of the lap sitting that went on and some of the moving around on that stage. But this is a lot of fun, and we're going to get into question number 3.
Not since I was under the tarp with Sue Hawk have I been this close to another human being.
This is like the thing where the two people who hang out in the shelter with each other are the two people that are working together in the game. It's Boston Rob's theory. It's coming alive here in this Airbnb.
We're practically Ty and Beast Mode Cowboy right now.
Yes, or Ty and Mark the Chicken. Either way.
Okay. All right. What are we going to another season now, Jordan?
No, we're going to have one more Survivor China question. This is about the gross food challenge, and I know you how much you love these, and I know that you really want the challenge at next week's California event to be one of these gross food eating challenges that you have to do.
That's my big concern going into this EW Pop Fest, is that they're going to do Survivor challenges. I'm going to participate, and I'm concerned they're going to do a gross food competition.
Yeah, and you actually, during my pre-production research last night when we were at karaoke, you did tell me that, and I had that in my back pocket for today.
So, and I will not be doing it, okay? If immunity is not up for grabs, I will not be eating any gross food just for bragging rights over Abby Maria.
Yeah, we'll see. I really hope they put a lot of videos of this on. I wish I could be there. I wish this was in New York, or I wish I was going to be in California during this. But very excited to watch you and Ozzy and some of these challenge beasts go at it against Survivor fans. So, talking about gross food challenges, which of these gross foods was not included in the challenge that James was trying to throw? Was it A, eels, B, chicken hearts, C, a 1,000-year-old egg, D, live octopus?
I don't think that they had live octopus in China. I'll say D.
D is correct. Rob, you are 3 for 3. No live octopus. I have seen that actually in restaurants around New York City, believe it or not, but they did not have it in Survivor China. I still think PG, with her ability in this challenge, she probably still could have eaten it. But nope, no live octopus, unfortunately.
Yes, and we're really getting into the weeds here of what were the gross food items in the China challenge of gross food competition.
Yeah, well, this is This Week in Survivor History, subtitle, In the Weeds.
Yes, into the minutia.
In the Weeds is also Jim from South Pacific.
Jim Rice you're looking for.
Yes, Jim Rice documentary, In the Weeds. So, but we're in the weeds, but we're out of China now. We're going to Survivor Pearl Islands. This is the episode from October 23rd, 2003. Question number 4. What was the name of this Pearl Islands episode This Week in Survivor History? Was it A, Me and My Pirate, B, Me and My Pelican, C, Me and My Snake, D, Me and My Llama?
I believe the title is Me and My Snake. I believe that is the title of the Pearl Islands episode.
Referring to Balboa, Rupert Snake?
Yes.
That is correct, Rob. This was a big Pelican Pete episode. It was a big Rupert episode, so it could have been about the Pirate. It could have been about the Pelican, but you are 4 for 4. And I know that you're saying we're in the weeds, but you've gotten all these questions right. And you could have maybe your third perfect week in out of four. Out of four, it could be amazing.
Could be amazing. Yep. Just call me Robbie Amazing when it comes to the Survivor trivia.
Yeah, and you still have your point doubler. You still have your 50-50. But I will tell you, this is the last multiple choice question. There are two more questions left. This is the last multiple choice. So if you want to use your 50-50, you have to use it here. And the question is for question number 5. We're out of Pearl Islands. Only one Pearl Island question this week. Which surviving member of a tribal council received the most votes this week in Survivor history?
John Voight?
Yes, John Voight's car. Was it A, Lindsay Richter in Survivor Africa? B, Marty Piombo in Nicaragua? C, Xi'an in Thailand, your favorite player? D, Vetus in Blood versus Water? Who received the most votes? I keep saying voice. Why do I? It's not even spelled wrong in my phone. I don't know what I'm saying. But which surviving member received the most votes out of those four?
When you say which surviving member, what do you mean? That they got votes, but they did not get voted out?
Yes, they survived tribal council, but they got the most votes.
And how many voids?
Zero voids.
Zero voids, most votes. Okay, one more time with these nominees.
Lindsay Richter, Marty Piombo, Xi'an in Thailand, or Vetus in Blood versus Water.
You know, this is so hard for me because I don't even know. Like, I don't know what episode of what season was on at this, you know, during this week in Survivor history. So this is almost like one of these things where I'm just sort of guessing blindly. I know Lindsay Richter got a ton of votes before she ultimately went out. So I will go with Lindsay Richter.
Lindsay Richter, is that your final answer?
Well, sure. Give me the 50-50, and then you're going to put Lindsay Richter in somebody else.
Okay, yes. I am going to put Lindsay Richter in somebody else. So it's going to be Lindsay or Marty. Just for the record, Xi'an and Vetus only received one vote in these episodes. So it is Lindsay Richter or Marty Piombo.
Okay. Boy. Marty, I know they used a... There was the idol. There was him and Jill. They were trying to flush the idol. I'll switch and I'll say Marty Piombo.
You think it was Marty? Rob, you shouldn't have switched.
You got me.
This was Lindsay. And if you remember, so you were even talking about how we're at different points in these different seasons. So this was Lindsay Richter. Survivor Africa was a season that started very late. Lindsay Richter, this was the episode where Carl Valencione was voted out. They both received 4 votes before the tiebreaker. This is, of course, when they did the trivia tiebreaker, which is the only time that they would do this in Survivor history. So she actually got half the votes on her tribe and was safe because she won the trivia contest.
If you're going to do a question like this, I think I should at least get the episode number of this, whether it was Lindsay Richter in episode 3 of Survivor Africa, Marty Piombo in episode 6 of Survivor Nicaragua. I think this is too much having to rely on the calendar.
Well, you know what? We have a live audience here. What do you guys think? Do you think that Rob should receive the episode title, the episode number in this type of questions, in these types of questions? Because when you think about it, you've been getting so many of these questions right. We need a couple stumpers in there. If you knew it was episode 3 of Africa, you would have known 100% that it was Lindsay Richter.
Exactly.
Yeah, but do you want it? I'm a teacher, Rob. So would I give a test where my students would 100% get a question? No. What do they learn?
Okay. And if I can't even get it, how many people in the audience are getting it?
I think so. Look, we have some yes, pumpkin yes, a no from Steve Cancel, a vote counselor. So I don't know. It looks like a mixed response here. Oh, we're getting more yeses. So I guess in the future, I will include the episode title. You win.
Because it's not just about me. People at home want to get the questions right, too.
That's true. They are playing along, Rob. And talking about playing along, this is going to be... Good segue there. This is going to be one of the best play-along questions ever because a couple patrons who I'm staying in an Airbnb with right now helped me out with this question, helped me remember who was voted out in these few episodes, and we are talking about Live New York Survivor Know-It-Alls. List all the survivors who were voted out during Live New York Know-It-All episodes. So there are 4. There's Survivor San Juan del Sur, Worlds Apart, Cambodia, Koh Rang, go. You need all 4 to get the question right.
You want them in alphabetical order?
I want them in whatever order you want to give me, Bro Chacha.
Okay. So back in the fall of 2014, it was Val Collins voted out in the second episode of San Juan del Sur.
Yes. She went home with both of her idols.
This is only the New York know-it-alls?
Only New York. New York is canon.
Okay. Only New York is canon. And
LA is canon, too. Sorry, Albert Vargas. LA is canon. He helped me come up with this question.
Okay. Then the following spring, we had another know-it-alls during episode number 3 of Survivor Worlds Apart. And it was the the great... what was her name? It was in,
I know you know it.
No, I know. I feel like I'm gonna get her last name wrong. So it was Nina, El Nina.
I'll give it to you. Was it Nina Porsche or Nina Acosta?
Nina P. Nina Acosta was from One World.
Yes, that is correct. And she was the one who had a big makeover during the live reunion. She was. But yes, Nina Porsche, big Survivor fan, but unfortunately didn't do well. Not a great episode, but still a fun night.
Not a great episode. Not a great episode. And that's what I assume when Steven and I talk about doing the live shows, that we say, well, if we got through the Nina episode, we can get through anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to be a bad time. Even if it was like a medevac or a quit, it would be unfortunate, but it would still be a good episode.
Yeah, I think we're lucky we weren't doing a know-it-alls the night that Joe Del Campo got medevaced.
Yeah, and that also might have brought back really bad memories for Steven, too. And it could have been uncomfortable, Joe is uncomfortable, but it could have been uncomfortable for us watching Steve, big Steve, have to relive that.
Okay, and then just to pick up the pace here a little bit, then Shireen got voted off during the Cambodia, and then back this past spring, it was Debbie Wanner who was voted out during the last live know-it-alls.
Rob, congratulations. You are 5 for 6 on the quiz. You got all.
Oh, I forgot to use the vote doubler. You didn't even bring it up.
Okay. You know what? Let's pretend you used the vote doubler on the one you got wrong. Unfortunately, so you get 5 points. You're 5 for 6. Rob, you know the rules. You know the rules. There's no, I know it's Survivor. There's no rule book like Big Brother, but you do know the rules by now. Come on.
This is like if Jeff forgets to say, does anybody want to play the hidden immunity idol? That, yeah, it's your job to say it. Like, Jeff, Jeff is like, well, hold on, I got voted out. You didn't even say, does anybody want to play a hidden immunity idol?
Okay, but what if it's like, what if it's one of these advantages, like a Fishback or a Foley has? He doesn't say, do you want to play your advantage? Come on, Robbie, I don't have to say, you have to remember, this is what, week 6 that we're doing this? Week 6 of the quiz? Or 5? I don't know. What week are we on?
This is week 6.
Week 6. So, here we go. You are 5 for 6. Congratulations. You get 5 points. You win the game. All you need is 4 points to win the game. And yes, Debbie Wanner in that Koh Rang episode. What an episode to watch live. It was the latest Know-It-Alls episode we've done, and it was amazing. And then Shireen, who's actually a veteran of Know-It-Alls, she was at Know-It-Alls 2, I believe, was the one voted out in Cambodia. I was sad, but it's what are you going to do?
I believe that was her cousin was there.
Yes, that's true. Her cousin was there, and she had a good time.
All right, Jordan Kalish, I'm about to kick you out of my Airbnb for your very loose hosting of This Week in Survivor History.
Hey, it's my first live show. I've never been on live TV before. It takes some adjustment.
All right. Well, Jordan Kalish, about to be voted out of my Airbnb again. Thank you for your hard work. What is it, a 5-week winning streak now for me?
I believe it is. I believe you only lost the first week. And I wish the Jets could have done this when they lost the first week. Just pulled off a bunch of wins in a row. They'd be in playoff contention, but no, unfortunately not.
Okay, so we'll see if I can run the table the rest of the season. If we can get these questions to a point where they can, maybe we can get Miles Nye involved to pass like quiz master, quiz bowl, puzzle master level of questions.
So yeah, maybe get some Jeopardy questions then.
Perfect. All right. Good stuff. Thank you so much, Jordan Kalish. Follow Jordan on Twitter at Jordan Kalish, and we'll see you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. You have any food in here? Any food, drinks, anything?
No.
Oh. Okay. Whatever. I'll wait.
All right.
Wait till we get to Caroline's.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Hope that you guys don't think I was too hard on Jordan with the questions, but I want the people at home to be able to have a fair shot at these. So when the questions are not formatted in any sort of way where anybody could possibly get these questions right. Like, I don't care if I win or lose. I'm more interested in that you guys are able to have a good quiz. So we're workshopping stuff a little bit, but appreciate the effort every week from Jordan. All right, so that's going to do it here on the Exit Interview Podcast. We're going to be getting into our conversation with T-Bird coming up in just a couple of minutes for me and a couple hours for you guys, and then get your voicemails in for our podcast with Antonio Mazzaro. That's going to be coming up on Friday. Probably get that up for you guys by Saturday morning. And eventually, Steven and I will get into Australian Survivor coverage. And I've been getting a lot of Twitter questions about that. We will get into it. And then, of course, get back on the BBOTT train and all plenty of stuff coming up as we continue the march into November on Rob as a Podcast. So enjoy. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.